All right, this is part two on becoming tellulos. And so a little bit of refreshing. What we were talking about is gibberish. And so what many Christians believe and what Christians are taught is actually gibberish. It has nothing to do with this word. And a good analogy, I was talking to Melania, and we were out in the yard and pulling weeds. And if you don't, and I showed her, if you don't maintain the yard, weeds will take over. Very simply. So that's the same with your mind and your foundation. If you have a very good foundation, a very good yard, you don't have any weeds. It's when you have those pockets of weeds come and start taking over. And if you don't pull those out, then they start growing and growing and growing. So we've got to think the thick grass, think of it as the Hebrew text. So if my foundation is the Hebrew text, you know, the Hebrew words are what they mean, then I've got a sure foundation. So when somebody says the word hell, you say, what Hebrew word are you saying? And it changes everything. Or if they say soul, what Hebrew word are you saying? If they say God, what Hebrew word are you saying? And so that's going to grab people back because people have gardens also. We are in our yard pulling weeds, and there's big vines coming up, and actually it's poison ivy. And so think of that as a false doctrine. Mm-hmm. And so generations now and before me, instead of pulling that out, they actually water it and fertilize it because to them, it's a plant that's desirable. But it's poison. It's poison ivy. And that's where we come in with the, you know, which we're going to see, a lot of different false doctrines. And the Septuagint, which was the Hebrew Bible translated into Greek, started this 250 years before Christ even came around. And so by removing the word Yahweh, by removing the, by changing Elohim to Theos, by changing Yahweh to Kurios, and by changing Sheol to Hades, by changing death, mute, to Thanos. And who is Thanos?
The God of death.
The God of death. We already know that. So all of this has happened 250 years before Christ even was born. And we're about 250 years old right now, so you can imagine what it does to a population. So, the gibberish, as we were talking about, erased Yahweh completely. And you look at everybody's Bible, you see that. And really, I'm going to like do a little forecast. If we lose the prediction, if we lose the Rotherham Bible in this family and other people's lives, Yahweh will be lost again, very simply, because the people who are actually reading the NIV or anything else and looking at capital L, capital O, R, D, are trying to pick out where they think it's Yahweh and where it's not. And after a while, they're not going to do that anymore. So Yahweh is going to be lost. The gibberish is that man, that they make death our friend, which we know that's a lie. They created an evil, unjust God with hell, as we know. Hell, for Stalin, is one thing. But for a person who obeyed the law all their lives and rejected and will not bow to Christ, it's another thing. Now, Stalin murdered 30 million people. So why would their punishment be the same? You know, so in our minds, you know, why would it be age abiding?
Yeah, and here's a Hindu family that just did everything but that.
Yeah, but I mean, there's people who are, they're not breaking the physical laws, but they're you know, they're not going to bow to Yahweh. Okay, but we know that. And so by doing that, by creating hell, they replace Sheol with the Greek place Hades, which is the god Hades. They have erased the new earth. None of us were raised about the new earth, ever. They replaced it with heaven. Men are immortal because at birth, because they changed the word nephesh from Hebrew into suke. So the Septuagint did all this. So and with the Greeks,
explain what nephesh and suke are.
Yeah, that's soul, what we translate soul. But it has nothing to do with immortality. Animals are, and we don't have a nephesh. We are a nephesh, a living nephesh. So are animals too. But suke In the Greek world, it was huge because that's called the transmigration of the psuche. So when you see the word psuche, then automatically it's coming with the people don't die. The manifestation of the spirit, which was tongues with interpretation, prophecy, the nine manifestations, they said they tore it out of the Bible. And, you know, that's another thing, too. In your garden, you don't uproot the good stuff.
Right.
And so what they had told him to do is uproot the good stuff. And so they pulled out 1 Corinthians 14 and threw it away. And then planted the doctrines of demons. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, and that is... And they water it, and so guess what? It grows.
Yeah, God's in control.
Yeah, God's in control. Yeah, that's a good one. And Jesus is the creator. They'll say that too. And praying to Jesus. That's part of it too. So we're going to see the corruption that we see with Aaron in Exodus 32, 1 through 6.
Great.
Aharon.
My predecessor.
And so we should be ever aware of the corruption that's ever present in our own lives, and we have to be, like Bolger said, it's not that we try to give proof that what we believe is true. What we try to look at is what we believe actually in this book. If it's not in this book, I get rid of it. If it's not validated in this book. And so we saw that with the Trinity. You know, so it's a Trinity. If the Apostle Paul said, greetings in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost on each of the seven epistles, well, then you've got some foundation. But does he ever do that?
No.
No. Do Catholics do that? Yeah, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That's three gods. No proof whatsoever. So you just say, well, that's just ridiculous. And 32:1, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, as we know, he was up there 40 days. That's called a probation. The probation was not for Moses. It was for the people to see how they would do without their parent. So if your dad left for the weekend and said, Cayman, take care of everything. You know the rules. Could you pass the probation or not? You know. So if you didn't, when you came back, you flunked the probation. And the people gathered themselves unto Aharon and said unto him, up, make for us Elohims, who shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what hath befallen him. And Aharon said unto them, I will not.
Nope.
No, he didn't say that at all. And here's a prophet by Yahweh. So can any of us be coerced into submitting to the doctrines of men, which are really the doctrines of demons? Yes, Aharon was. Break off the rings of gold which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people of themselves break off the ring of gold which is in their ears, and brought them unto Aharon, and received the gold at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, and made it in a molten calf, and said, these are thy gods, plural, O Israel, who brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aharon saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aharon made proclamation and said, a festival to Yahweh tomorrow. Now we got two gods, a golden calf and we got Yahweh. So they didn't get rid of Yahweh, we just incorporated a golden calf. See how easy it is. Now we go to Gideon, Judges chapter 6, pages 267. Joshua Judges.
Chapter 1.
Chapter 6, verse 25. Now remember, Gideon was part of a Hebrew family. So this is how far, hey, I was part of a Christian family, Catholics, and we were praying to Mary. You know, we had the Trinity. There's no manifestation of the Spirit. There's no Bible. Nobody reads the Bible. Never read the Bible in my life. Not even encouraged to read the Bible. That was like Gideon was. Now, what would happen if you broke a statue of Mary?
Someone would probably get pretty mad.
Yes, they would. And that's what Gideon is going to do. Mm-hmm. Because what the Catholics end up doing right now is they're praying to Mary. Is Mary alive?
No.
No, she's not. She's waiting for the resurrection. They're supposed to be praying to Yahweh, and our mediator is who?
Yahushua.
Christ. Yeah, Yahushua. Yeah, he's our mediator. And so that's 25 and 26. And so Yahweh says, okay, Gideon, here's what you're going to do. It came to pass on that night that Yahweh said unto him, take the young bullock that belongeth to thy father, even the second bullock of 7 years, and throw down the altar of Baal that belongeth to thy father, and the sacred stem that is by it shalt thou cut down. Then shalt thou build an altar unto Yahweh, thy Elohim, on the top of this fort with the pile, and shall take the second bullock and cause it to go up as an ascending sacrifice with the wood of the sacred stem which thou shalt cut down. Very bold for him. So that's what we're doing today with Catholicism, with Protestantism, you know, with Sean's talking to Jehovah Witnesses, the same situation. We're speaking the truth. Now we go to, I don't think we have to go to Nebuchadnezzar, but we know Nebuchadnezzar built a golden statue and said, bow down to it or die. Today, if we don't bow down to what people are teaching, you cannot be part of that group. You're actually a heretic. And in the old times, they would kill you, burn you at the stake. So in England, people were burned at the stake because they didn't believe in the Trinity or they didn't believe in Mary. And Queen Elizabeth burned hundreds of people at the stake because of that. And now in the United States, we don't do that, but people in other countries are doing that. Here's just an example, too, of Billy Graham. So Billy Graham was supposed to be this fabulous guy, like what he did, but he was not telulose at all. His Bibles was, he said they would teach out of the King James at his conferences. He, at his work, he would do the NIV, and on his personal reading, he would read the Living Bible. And we're going to see all this. Yeah, all three. And so, as truth, it was just not a factor.
Not important.
Yeah, and so we're going to show you something about truth. And he says the King James is good, but read all good translations in the NIV. Garbage. Very popular, supposedly 700 million people saw him, you know, over his lifetime, 700 million people. Here's how important the texts are. And so right now people, whatever is easiest to read. Truth is not important. This is called the Masoretic text. And so who the Masoretes, Masoret means, you see here. Actually, they got the word, it's called Masoreh from Ezekiel 20:37, which means to bind or bound. And so what they're going to do is they're going to bind the text, the Hebrew text. So they existed between the 7th and 11th century in Jerusalem, Tiberias, and Babylon. And 24 books they bound was the Tanakh, you know, which is the Old Testament.
You mean when you say bound, you're talking about a book binding?
Well, what they're going to, I'm going to show you what they're going to do. No, they're going to bind the text so they cannot be changed. Here it is. And this is in Adams Clark commentary. The Masoretic notes on the book of Genesis. At the end of all the books in the Hebrew Bible, the Masoretes have affixed certain notes ascertaining the number of greater and smaller sections, chapter, verses, and letters. These they deemed of the greatest importance in order to preserve the integrity of their law and the purity of their prophets. And to this end, they not only numbered every verse, word, and letter, but even went so far as to ascertain how often each letter of the alphabet occurred in the whole Bible. Wow. Thus, sacredly did they watch over their records in order to prevent every species of corruption. Wow. So these guys, on every sentence, they would count every letter, and on the margin, they would know how many letters there are. Because when you transcribe, That's where errors can come in. So if you came up with something else, if you had 35 letters, then when somebody had 37, something's wrong.
Yeah.
And so they did this to anchor that the word of Yahweh would not be changed.
Wow.
Now, when you got Billy Graham, doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter at all. And people today also. And that's how important the Hebrew, the Rotherham Bible is based on the Masoretic text. Now, when we're talking about the gibberish, like we were talking about, Cayman was realizing that. Can a father not have a son? We know what words. Can a son not have a father? Can a son not be born? And all these things. That's what we talked about last time. And no, that makes gibberish or stupidity. And so what we're going to look at now is the stupefied people. Stupid, from Latin, is stupor, to be knocked insensible. Isaiah 6:10. Chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Then said he, why don't you, Kevin, you want to read this?
That's the wrong page.
I said 653. Yeah, you got to read Isaiah. But chapter 6, verse 9 to 10.
I thought I was there, sir.
I'm trying not to give people a page number unless they're struggling.
What
can happen is they don't learn the books of the Bible.
6, 9.
Okay, thanks.
They don't learn the books of the Bible. They just go ahead and just listen to the page number. You want to read that? 9 and 10.
Then said he, go and say unto this people, hear on, but not discern. See on, but do not perceive. Stupefy thou, O the heart of this people, and their ears make thou heavy, and their eyes overspread, lest I see with their eyes, and with their ears should hear, and their heart should discern and come back, and they be healed.
This is repeated over and over and over again. Christ could be talking to somebody, and the same thing happens. So now we go to Matthew 13:14. They're going to be quoting Isaiah. 13:14 through 15, Melania.
14 through 15. Okay. And again is being fulfilled in them the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, ye shall surely hear and yet will not understand.
Not ye, they.
They shall surely hear and yet will not understand, and surely see and yet not perceive. For the heart of this people hath become dense, and with their ears heavily have they heard, and their eyes have they closed, lest once they should see with their eyes, and with their ears should hear, and with their hearts should understand and return, when I would certainly heal them.
Same problem, same people. Now we go to Acts 28. Paul had the same thing. This is how he's ending the book of Acts. Let's start at 23. And so we should not be discouraged when people are stupefied. So there's two things that happen. One is they believe a lie because they want to believe a lie, or they're mentally retarded. But I think most people, once you bring the senses that this doesn't make sense, then I think many times they've been taught that it doesn't need to make sense. I take it by faith, which is ridiculous. It has nothing to do with the scripture.
has nothing to do with faith.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with faith either. Paul, and having arranged with him a day, there came unto him to the lodging a large number to whom he proceeded to expound, bearing full witness as to the kingdom of Yahweh, and persuading them concerning Yahushua, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets, from morning until evening. Here's the master, right? The great teacher. Yeah, absolutely. He's talking to Hebrews. They know the scriptures, supposedly. What the results are. So don't be discouraged when people say, you're from the devil. Because guess what they told Christ?
He was
from the devil. So you say, I'm in good company. And some indeed were persuaded by the things that were spoken, whereas others, what?
Disbelieved.
And not being agreed among themselves, they began to leave. But Paul having said one thing, well did the Holy Spirit speak through Isaiah the prophet unto your father, saying, go thy way unto this people and say, you shall surely hear and yet will in no wise understand, and surely see and yet will in no wise perceive. For the heart of this people hath become dense, and with their ears heavy have they heard, and their eyes have they closed. And that's really it. They close them. Lest once they should see with their eyes, and with their ears should hear, and with their heart should understand and return, when I should certainly do what?
Heal them.
They don't want to be healed. I want to be healed. I want the truth, regardless. So never feel that you're wrong because nobody's with you. The Hebrew words are the foundation for Yahweh's communications. No man-made doctrine. So it's very simply, you know, if you heard of, praying to Mary. Is it anywhere in the Bible?
No.
No. And so nobody can convince me to pray to Mary. I mean, it's just that simple. So we have to go to the scriptures. Deuteronomy 4, let's just go there. Our foundation is to stop the gibberish and pass on truth. Verse 1. Deuteronomy 4, verse 1, page 202. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Now therefore, O Israel, hearken thou unto the statutes and unto the regulations which I am teaching you to do them, to the end ye may live and enter and possess the land which Yahweh thy Elohim of your fathers is giving unto you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I am commanding you, neither shall you take away therefrom, that ye may keep the commandment of Yahweh your Elohim, which I am commanding you. Really simple. That's what the Masoretic text did. Ye shall not add or take away one iota, one comma, or anything else from it. We're going to see, let me give you an example of what happens. So let's go to Philippians 2, 5 and 6. While you're going there, we also know Galatians 1 talks about if anybody teaches you any other thing that Paul taught, let him be what?
Accursed.
Accursed. He said it twice. It doesn't matter to the present day church.
Philippians what?
Philippians 2, verse 5 and 6. We're going to see what they call literal translations and the new modern paraphrases, which they're going to call translations, which they're not. And they're doing exactly what they've been commanded not to do. Okay, Elijah 5 and 6. Philippians
chapter 2, 5 and 6. The same thing esteem in yourselves, which also in Christ Jesus, Christ Yehoshua, ye esteem, who in form of Yahweh Elohim subsisting, not a thing to be seized, accounting the being equal with Yahweh.
Okay, so just watch that. Now I'm going to give you what Young says, and follow your Rotherham. For let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Yahushua, who being in the form of God. Now, the form of God, we're going to look at. The form of God. Hey, wait a minute. What do the Trinitarians say he is?
He is God.
God. So he would be who is God, not in the form of God. God. And these translations are going to do this. We're going to see this. He asks, for who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal to God. I'll just go, and the New American Standard Version, 1995, had this attitude of self, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God to thing to be grasped. Now, we're going to look at the NIV. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Does it say very nature of God? No. The word nature is not in there. New Living Translation. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. These are what Billy Graham is using. These translations. The Living Bible. And all of these are New Living Translation. Then that means we have the old dead translation.
You had old wine. Got some new wine here.
Living Bible. Your attitude should be... You know, I don't know why they use the word attitude. You know, so I look at the word attitude. Attitude really means fit, fitness, posture. But that's the new thing. Your attitude should be... okay, back with the Living Bible, verse 5. Your attitude should be the kind that was shown by Jesus Christ. Did it say Jesus Christ?
Nope.
What did it say?
Christ Jesus.
So they just reversed it. Doesn't make any difference. Who, though he was God, did not demand and cling to his right as God. Here's Phillips' Bible. Let Christ, no Jesus in there, he just says Christ. No Christ. Let Christ himself be your example as to what your attitude should be. For he who has always been God by nature did not cling to his prerogative as God's equal. That was Billy Graham's Bible. Phillips' Bible. That's what his devotional Bible, what he read from. The Passion Translation, we've heard about that advertised.
Yeah, he lives here.
And consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, no. You can say the Anointed One, which is, whether it's Christ, you should say Christ Jesus. The Anointed One, Jesus. He said before us, let his mindset become your motivation. He existed in the form of God. At least they got that right. Huh. Now, these other Bibles have all got rid of begotten also. So there is no begotten Son of God. So it's been removed from the text. So that shows you what we're up against. Now, the foundation is the Hebrew language, and this is just the Septuagint all over again. Now we go to Psalms 29 on how important this is. For this people right here and people watching this film who care an iota, you know, about our Creator's word, like the Masoretic text. Okay. Oh, yeah, 29. Now watch this. You see the word Yahweh in this thing? In this verse?
Which verse?
In 29 through the whole chapter. Chapter. Psalms 29 through the chapter. Let's read this. Give to Yahweh, sons of the mighty. Give to Yahweh both glory and strength. Give to Yahweh the glory of his name. Bow down to Yahweh, the adornment of holiness. What do the other Bibles have? No Yahweh. Keep watching. The voice of Yahweh is upon the waters. The El of glory hath thunder. Yahweh is upon mighty waters. The voice of Yahweh is with power. The voice of Yahweh is with majesty. The voice of Yahweh is breaking cedars. Now hath Yahweh broken down the cedars of Lebanon, and hath made them leap like a calf, Lebanon and Siren, like the bull calf of wild oxen. The voice of Yahweh is cleaving out flames of fire. The voice of Yahweh bringeth birth pains upon the wilderness. Yahweh bringeth birth pain upon the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of Yahweh causeth the gazelles to bring forth, and hath stripped forth, and in his own temple every one there is saying glory. Yahweh at the flood was seated, and Yahweh hath taken his seat as king unto times age abiding. Yahweh will give strength to his people. Yahweh will bless his people with prosperity. So, the word Yahweh, there was 18 usages of Yahweh in 11 verses. All been removed by Satan. This is real simple. Who's removed that?
Satan
has removed that. And this translation for this people here, how important this is, you know, John Lynn doesn't care about it. John Shane doesn't care about it. I just thought, my goodness, hell is not in this translation. The word hell is not in this translation. This is wonderful. Mercy, the word mercy, is not in the Old Testament. Brethren's Old Testament. Obviously, most of the time they translate mercy as said. And said has nothing to do with mercy. The woman caught adultery is not in here. And that's John 7:53-8:11. He has from among the dead, not from the dead. Let's look, and then he's got Elohim El Eloah, Psalms 18. Love in the Psalms. Go to Psalms 18. Now, who has the ability to read the print style to know when it's El, Elohim, and Eloah?
I can.
Can you?
Yeah.
You can? You know what Eloah looks like? Don't say you do.
What you're talking about.
Okay, well, don't say. Do you know?
Yeah.
The other kids, I know you know. I'm looking at these other people. You need to know this. There are three terms, and the Septuagint is going to translate them all theos. And everybody else is going to do the same thing, just translate them God. There's no distinction whatsoever between this. Capital G, small o, D is
Elohim,
the most used word, used 2,000 times. Second one, very easy to remember, is capital G, capital O, capital D is
L.
L. E-L. That's might. And then Old English, you know how you write in Old English, is spelled is Eloah.
Eloah.
Eloah. E-L-O-A-H.
So why do they have like different ones?
Because Yahweh put it that way, and he's given us significance on each of his characteristics.
Oh, okay.
Now we're going to see this in verse 30 to 32.
18.
Okay. Not air, but who's got this? And they can go ahead and do what we just learned.
I can.
Okay. Do you have Eloah?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
It's written.
It's written. Okay, never mind. Okay. Hey, the kids do it?
What's the difference?
Oh, I'll do it. I see it. Oh, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Now read 30 correctly, 30 to 32.
30 to 32?
Yeah.
As for Elohim, blameless.
That's for El.
That's for El.
Sorry.
Okay, start over.
As for El, blameless in this way, the speech of Yahweh hath been proved. A shield he is to all who seek refuge in him. For who is Eloah save Yahweh, and who is a rock save our Elohim? The El who girded me with strength and set forth as blameless my way.
Wow, beautiful. Isn't that great? I
mean, yeah.
We can see that. We can't read Hebrew, but there it's just been explained. Yeah. But it's been shown forth because of the Rotherham fidelity. You know, when I went in this is interesting. I got all these translations from an on-site. It's called Bible Gateway. And you can put a verse and it shows you maybe 40 different translations. Young's is there. Do you know what's not there?
Rotherham's
not there.
That's dangerous.
Yeah, that is. We know with the Young's Bible, so we're looking at telulos. We're coming to telulos, mature, where we're not shocked. And really, it comes down to when you say Trinity, you say, what Hebrew word are you referring to? Nothing. So it's just whenever somebody says something, you say, what Hebrew word are you referring to? And just let's go right down to the what the word says, and let's begin right there. If you don't have a word for it, what are you doing? You know, you're regurgitating. But Young's Bible is very good because it has the perfect and imperfect. And we've done it other times. Okay, so common sense, not nonsense. Nonsense is confusion. So we know, does Yahweh have a God, David?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Does Jesus have a God?
Yes.
Yes, he does. Yeah. See?
Yeah.
Here, let's go read Ephesians 1:7.
17. 1:3 or 1:7?
1:3, I'm sorry. Ephesians, book in the New Testament, not the Old Testament. You want to tell me what page it's on?
Yeah.
And you need to learn the books of your Bible.
I do.
He does. She just...
It's just I...
On
just,
your front
yes.
Tense, so.
That's okay.
And this is very important because if they say Jesus is God, what do we come back and say?
197.
If they say Jesus is God, what do we say?
No.
Does Jesus have a God?
Because yeah, say, you can't have an image of
yep,
this
no.
one of his commands.
No, no, read this. Ephesians 1, 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. I want you to see it.
Blessed be the
Or just say God.
Okay, God. And Father of our Lord. Would I say Lord?
Just read what you see.
Okay. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ.
Wait a minute. Does he have a God?
No.
Yes.
Well, just read that again. Read it again.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ.
So what is Jesus Christ? Does he have a Father?
Yes.
Does he have a God?
Yes.
Yes. Verse 17.
3:17, right?
No, chapter 1, verse 17.
That the God of our Lord, Jesus Christ, the
okay,
Father...
Okay, right there. Does he have a God?
Yeah.
Yes. And so, very simply, when somebody says, well, do you believe that Jesus is God? Just say, I'm going to ask you a question. Does Jesus have a God? Then I say, no, Jesus is God. Now just ask me the question, does Jesus have a God? No. Ephesians 1:3. Ephesians 1:17. Let me read it. But if Jesus has a God, and he is God, how many gods do we have now?
Two.
Is there something wrong with that? And so that's kind of the end of the conversation. So, very important. So the next thing is, with any teachers, you go, what Bible translation do you read from? Well, I read from a lot. And that's what they won't get pinned down. I mean, it's just it's so sad because they're not telulose, because they're not rooted, and they're afraid they're going to get knocked off. And if they're reading the NIV, junk. The Old King James, junk. So Andrew Womack, Old King James. Kenneth Copeland, Old King James. You know, this is garbage. This is bad stuff. Better than the NIV, but it's just bad stuff. They don't even know that the woman caught in adultery is not in the text. Those guys, they've been in the Bible for 50 years. And are they telulose?
No.
No, they're not telulose. They are infants blown about by every word of doctrine. So Kenneth Copeland will say, man has a body, man is a spirit, has a body, and has a soul. And you have to say, when you say spirit, what Hebrew word are you saying? It just stops everything. Now, the Youngs, let me see here. So we've got really three things. Is for to be telulose, you got to have a Rotherham, period. And then Young, secondary, and Bullinger is third to help go through it. So we have teachers. Let's go back to Ephesians 4, chapter 4. This is our first session. Yahweh gave us teachers. Chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some indeed to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some shepherds and teachers, with a view to the fitting of the saints for the work of ministry, which is to serve, for an upbuilding of the body of the Christ. We're supposed to build up until we all advance into the oneness of the faith and the personal knowledge of the Son of Yahweh, into a man of full growth, that's the word telulos, unto the measure of that. How are we supposed to become telulos? Because we have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. So we have teachers to make us telulos. into the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ, that we may no longer be what?
Infants.
These people are infants. They can be blown out. And you can, just by asking certain things like that, they're done. I can just say, what Hebrew word? Man. You know, how far is your root? About this deep? Yep, just fell over. I'm not trying to hurt the person, but you're like, my goodness, that should be elementary. I mean, there is no word for hell. There is no Hebrew word for hell. That we may no longer be infants, billow tossed and shifted around with every wind of teaching. So when you hear these people, that's all that happens. In the craft of men, there we go, in knavery, suited to the artifice of what? Error. So all these people are in their gardens watering
weeds.
You know, watering deadly stuff. You know, they're the deadly stuff. Because their parents watered it, and they inherited their parents' garden, and here's what you got.
They're rattlesnakes.
Yeah, you got... But pursuing truth, may in love grow into him in all things who is the head. That's where we're supposed to be. So this generation is to know the truth. You know, and you must know your Bibles and be able to read your Bibles, because it's up to you. When I'm gone and Mama's gone, then it's just Aaron and Israel. And after they're gone, it's you guys. Whether you're going to speak in tongues, you're going to interpret, you're going to prophesy, you're going to read, you've got a foundation so you can carry on the banner. Let's see here. I think we're sitting right there. Okay.
That's that. It comes back to add a word, change a word, and delete a word.
Oh, yeah.
Satan did it right in Genesis.
And that's a good point. The Satan's attack is always the root of Yahweh. And he's done a marvelous job. Marvelous show. And that's how you get Baal with Yahweh. Mm-hmm. And the Israelites, the 10 tribes who broke away from Judah, and that's Jeroboam. It says of Jeroboam, what was that?
Golden calf.
Yeah, how many? Two. So
First Trinity.
The First Trinity actually is the sins of Jeroboam. So he had... People are supposed to come back to Jerusalem three times a year, all the men. And he didn't want people to come back to Jerusalem. He thought he'd lose them. So he said, we're going to make a calf. And we put one in Dan and in Bethel. And then the big festival was supposed to be Tishri, the seventh month. And he changed it to what? The eighth month. So their festivals was the eighth month. So he broke the tradition, the Jews. Stop them from going to there. Now you have a calf in Dan, and now you have, very convenient, a calf in Bethel, and that's where Jacob was, the house of El, a holy place, and you have Yahweh. You got three gods back then. Isn't that simple? Something new? No, and Yahweh hated it, because he'd always go through the sins of Jeroboam, the sins of Jeroboam, the sins of Jeroboam. It goes all the way through the Old Testament. I mean, all the way through the kings. Okay. Now we'll go to hear for our Father, so I give a prophecy for those who can see it or hear it. Now, Father, we thank you for these people. And my sons and daughters, you are to be encouraged, and you are to be uplifted, and you are to sing the song of rejoicing, because I'm a living Elohim who abides within you. You are my sons and my daughters who have placed here for a purpose in order to facilitate my will, to bring people out of darkness into my light, that you can do that, but you must exercise your senses. You must exercise your ability to know my will, which is in my word.